All of us at one time in our lives have sung the song, Be Careful Little Eyes What You See, Be Careful Little Hands What You Do, and Be Careful Little Ears What You Hear. The sad point of it is we sing the song and we go away without applying it to our lives. Our culture today follows what it wants to hear. We hear a multitude of things on social media, on television, what other people say, and we follow what we want to hear. The things we don't want to hear, we don't like, are the things that we don't follow. We don't agree with them for some reason, so we're not going to listen to that. That's not me. That's not my life. I'm not going to follow that. I don't believe that, so that's not really true, see, is the mindset that we've adopted today. Because we follow what we want to hear. Someone follows this way. Someone follows that way. Some drive Ford. Some drive Chevy. Some drive John Deere's. Some run Massey's, Internationals, and so on and so forth. Follow what we want to hear. Be careful, little ears, what we hear. We live in a culture today of confusion, where there's lack of solid direction. And as a result, if you really honestly want to admit the truth, we live in a culture that's lost. I mean, it's all around us, that people don't have a direction. They're not working for unity. And there's a reason for that. Because many have subscribed to false teachings to please their senses. Paul talks about it. The Bible talks about it all the way through. We're going to begin today a new series on how our senses deceive us. Our senses deceive us because they are of our fleshly being. We have seven senses that have been identified, but they all have to do with the flesh. And as they receive information from the world around us, they're processed in the mind. And as it's processed in the mind, we make a choice of what we want to accept and don't accept, what we want to believe and not believe. And that choice goes to the heart and alters our actions in what we do and what we say. And because we subscribe to various teachings to please our senses, and our senses deceive us. It's the greatest tool of marketing today in our culture. Marketing has a way of appeasing our senses to get us to buy their product. I get very frustrated when I sit on a Saturday or a Sunday, I'm watching football and they show all those hamburgers on television. And I said to my wife, it's a good thing we don't live in town. I wouldn't get to see any of the game. I'd be at McDonald's all the time, or I'd be at Panera Bread, or I'd be at one of the Mexican restaurants. It's a tool of marketing. If they can appease our senses and our senses change our mind, and all of a sudden we're hungry or we're thirsty for something. Because our senses are crying out to us. They're crying to our fleshly desires, Paul says. Consequently, even this is even happening in the body of Christ. You say, no, that can't happen. God makes sure this doesn't happen. One morning, I say years ago, it was before our kids were born, and they're now 20 and 21. I was sleeping in. It was winter time, and in the landscape business, I was glad to sleep in. It was a sunny winter morning. I'll never forget it. My wife was out in the living room watching television, and as she was going through the channels, she stopped on a channel of a lady that was teaching on this particular channel, and I could hear what was going on. And as the lady was teaching, she was teaching all about how we have to be careful in life not to commit certain sins, because some sins are more serious than others, and they determine where we go when we die. And if we commit the worst of sins before we die, without confessing them, we go straight to hell. The other ones, well, they're not quite as bad. If we commit them, we go to another place whereby our friends and our pastors and our churches can pray us out of those places and pray us into heaven, into the arms of Jesus. It was a very convincing argument. And as I got up and came out into the living room, my wife said to me, "You need to hear this. This really makes sense." The way she put it made it sound a lot different than I had ever heard this. And I smiled at her and I said, "Honey, if that were true, what was the purpose of Jesus Christ?" Folks, that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart that the church that claims to be the church of Jesus Christ would even teach commercially that there's a way to heaven other than Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which we can call on for salvation than Jesus Christ. It's heresy. It's what Paul talked about. Paul dealt with it all the time. He dealt with it. I meet with people all the time that believe, well, life's all about what we want to believe. We all have our own different gods, and that's okay. Because eternal life means something different to all of us. Folks, that is heresy at its highest. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Let me get on with this before I get off on a tangent. Paul wrote to Timothy concerning these things. Paul was writing from prison. He was writing concerning apostasy in the last days. And that's what we're living in. We're living in the last days, the time between when Jesus rose to heaven and when he's coming back in final victory to take us to be with him, Satan. He's writing about apostasy of the last days. And he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who's going to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing, in other words, waiting on his appearing and his kingdom, I charge you with this, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. The King James Version says, preach the word, or proclaim the message. All right? He didn't say, well, be a nice guy. He didn't say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He said, preach the word. Preach the word in view of Christ coming back. Be prepared in season and out of season. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, be prepared, Timothy. This is what you need to stand on. This is what we are all about as Christians. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. This is one of the problems of the church today. People don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be rebuked. But the Bible does that in order to guide us and direct us into the right way. You see, in other translations, he says, be persistent in season and out of season. The King James Version says, be instant. And the implication here from the old translation is to be prepared. To be prepared. The most common excuse I get why people will not witness or share their testimony is, well, I'm not really prepared. I don't know what to say. I don't know my Bible very well. Paul says, be prepared. The time will come, and here's the reason. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they're going to gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Then they'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, keep your head. Keep your head. Notice the focus here. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. But keep your head in all this. In all situations. The King James words it like this. Watch thou in all situations. In other words, you, Timothy, watch in all situations. Be prepared. Watch out. Keep your head about you. And here's the problem. Our culture is not keeping its head about us and not thinking correctly nor biblically. Paul dealt with a lot of this stuff in his own day. The false teachers, he kept moving around because the false teachers that were chasing him, coming in where he had done ministry and undoing what he did. Demas was one of them. We read about it in verse 10, where he talks about Demas. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved the world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. You see, Demas turned back against Paul and chose the worldly ways. In 3 John chapter 1, John talks about Diotrephes, a man who had infiltrated the church and was teaching improperly. And he said Diotrephes loves to be first. You see, he wanted the glory rather than Jesus. Paul warned the Christians of his day in these writings about this kind of stuff. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase, says it like this: I can't impress this on you too strongly. I love this. I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the judge with the final say on everyone, living and dead. He's about to break into the open with his rule, so proclaim the message with intensity. Keep on your watch. Charge, warn, and urge the people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. You're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but they're going to fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. Spiritual junk food, catchy opinions to tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on the truth. They'll chase mirages. But you, Timothy, keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. You see, very serious stuff back then and now. Our world is lost and directionless. Well, what's the solution? What can we do? Everyone asks. There's only one answer. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. You see, the Bible doesn't speak to our fleshly desires. It speaks to our spirit. It's God's spirit bearing witness with our spirit when we read the Bible. And as the spirit speaks to our spirit and bears witness, it speaks to the mind and it changes the mind. And Paul wrote to the Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When our minds are properly focused and properly directed by God's Holy Spirit in the Bible, which is inspired by God, all of a sudden we start to see things differently, we start to understand things differently, and we start to see the heresies and the false teachings in our world today. Because we say, without doubt and with complete assurance, I'm not following that way because that's not truth and that's not what the Bible says. And everybody says, well, it depends on how you interpret the Bible, and that's true. Are you going to interpret it truthfully, rightfully, in the right way, or are you going to interpret it by the standards of our culture today? You see, and there's a big difference. There's a big difference in how we interpret the Bible. Debate going on right now in the United Methodist Church, it's all about how we interpret the Bible. So let me go on. If you're not reading your Bible regularly, I can with assurance say you are making poor choices regularly. If you are not reading your Bible regularly, you are making poor choices regularly. Some say, well, I follow the golden rule. I follow the greatest command. This is what I'm supposed to do. I follow the golden rule. If you ask them where it is and who said that, they couldn't tell you because they don't read the Bible. Jesus in Luke 20 was up against the leaders of his day. He said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at the banquet. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished more severely." You see, he was talking about the teachers of the law, the religious leaders of his day, because they were misleading people and falsely teaching them. This is one of the reasons, the most important reason, that Jesus was crucified. Because he was coming in and he was telling all the religious leaders and the scribes and the elders, "You guys are wrong at how you're interpreting the scriptures. You're wrong." And he was showing them, and they didn't like it. They didn't like that they were wrong. So what they do, they killed him. Isn't that what people do today? They read the Bible a little bit and they don't like what it says, or they don't like what the preacher says on Sunday morning. So they quit coming to church and they put their Bible down and they don't read it again because they disagree with it. And what they're actually doing is they're putting God down. They're rejecting God and they're turning away from God. Telling God, "I don't need you, God. I don't need you." Paul, on his second missionary trip in Acts, was in Philippi. And he was thrown in prison. Why? Because he was going around teaching about Jesus. He was thrown in prison because the people didn't want to hear what he had to say. He was preaching the truth, but they didn't like the truth. They wanted to hear what their itchy ears wanted to say. In the Old Testament, all the Spirit's really pouring this stuff out now. In the Old Testament, the people did not want the prophets to prophesy anymore. In fact, they said, "We don't want to hear you anymore. Stop speaking. We don't want to hear what you have to say," because they didn't like the prophecies that convicted them and rebuked them in the way they were living and turning to other gods. And some of them, they killed. Isaiah, they stuffed in a hollow log and sawed him in half because they didn't like what he was telling them. He was thrown in prison with Silas in Philippi. If you read the Bible, you know the story. What were they doing about midnight? They were praying and they were singing hymns in a prison. The prison shook. All the bars flew open and they were free. What happened as a result? Rather than killing himself, Paul said to the jailer, "No, don't kill yourself." And he shared the gospel with him, and the jailer committed his life and was saved. Well, as Paul went around on his missionary trips, we find in Acts chapter 17, he was in Thessalonica. And the Jews were jealous, see, because Paul had the truth, the message of the gospel, and stood firm, and people were following him, and the Jews didn't like that. They were jealous. So they went after Paul. Let's see. What they do, they started a riot based on lies. They started lying about Paul and started lying about what he was saying and started a riot. So what did Paul do? He left. He left and he went on down to Berea. It tells us in Acts chapter 17, the Bereans were more of noble character than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they received the message with great eagerness. They didn't just accept it and say, "Yep, this is it. We're going to accept it." What did they do? They examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And many of the Jews believed, as did also the number of prominent Greek women and Greek men. Because what they do, they searched the scriptures and found exactly what Paul was saying was true. That's why I keep saying we are not going to understand this and know it until we start applying it to our lives. And that's where the rubber meets the road and our lives are changed. And our minds are transformed. Why doesn't everyone accept the Bible and its truth? Well, it's not what they want to hear. It's plain and simple. It's not what they want to hear. You mean to tell me I got to give my life up and follow a Galilean carpenter if you want to have eternal life around the throne of God? Yes. Yes, that's what I'm telling you, because that's the truth. Paul said, "It's foolishness to the world, this kind of teaching." The Bible shows it was, it still is today. Paul told Timothy there's going to be a time when people are going to act like this because they don't want to hear this stuff. Everyone doesn't accept it because it's not what they want to hear. The Bible tells us, as Paul wrote to Timothy, you know how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. When he wrote to the Romans and told them about being transformed by the renewing of their minds, that was so that they could prove what God's perfect will was. Not by reading some other novel, some bestseller, not by watching television or listening to somebody on television that's got some kind of new thinking, new teaching, you see, but by the Scriptures. I want to just close this morning real quickly, reading from Hebrews. Because as Paul dealt with this during his day, and we don't know that Paul actually wrote Hebrews, but what does the writer of Hebrews say? In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Now, we say, oh, I have all this new teaching. I've had new teaching. There's new insight. There's modern scholarly studies that bring us new thought. I hear that you plan to go to Ohio Seminary. And I say, what's wrong with the Bible? What's wrong with the Bible? Well, we have new information. Yeah, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls that prove that this is still pretty accurate. Why do we need new revelation? Why do we need a new thought? Because people want to hear satisfies their itching ears. They want to believe what they want to believe because it satisfies the fleshly desires. And you say, well, there's the question. These fleshly desires are in us. When God created us, when God created us perfect until sin entered the world of Garden of Eden. Being born in sin in the flesh, the fleshly desires folks will haunt us. They will misguide us. They will deceive us. Our senses will deceive us until the day we die and are given new resurrection bodies. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We will no longer be deceived when that takes place. But until that time comes, we have a greater hope in Jesus Christ. And we have the way, the truth, and the life, and God's truthful word here. Read it. Read it daily. Read it many times throughout the days. I don't care if you pick on a verse, a chapter, a whole book. You will never find anything to change your life like the Bible does. But also, it gives you the truth so that when you hear these things, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You won't be in conflict, and you won't be lost. You'll be found by the Lord of life reaching out to us through this careful little ears. God Almighty, we thank you for your word this morning from Paul.